Good evening. It's good to be here tonight. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Once again, the book of Acts, chapter number 2. It's going to be a fun evening. I'm totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit, as we should be. Amen. And looking forward to that. I was sitting there thinking as we're going through our blessings, Jeff was talking about mom's feet, and that's been a blessing to see how God has healed. And this past summer, Jeff has experienced some feet problems as well, and had a surgery here a couple weeks ago, actually, on one of his toes. What did they say? I think they separated a tendon, something of that nature. And so he's gone through his deal. Dad's gone through his deal with the heart. And now I get to go next week and get my heart taken care of, and looking forward to that. And so I was thinking to myself, three down, one to go. And looking forward to that. And Christy, she's got both. You got feet and a fast heart. Your heart just races for Dom. That's what it is. That's what it is. Yep. So I helped you out, Dom. Oh, well. Hey, it's good to be able to laugh here this evening. I don't know if you folks have paid attention to the news as of lately. There has been a guy that's been on the scene by the name of Kanye West. Some of you folks might have heard of his name. Some of you folks probably have no idea who he is. And that's the case. Don't worry about it. You don't need to know who he is. But a few weeks ago, probably in the last 6 weeks, there has been something that's come out where he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. I will tell you this, he is the husband of Kim Kardashian, if that says a lot there. A lot of people are falling for this, and he's been going into a lot of churches. Mike, what I'm trying to say, hopefully it's true with him. I hope he truly accepted the Lord as a Savior. But I've heard that he's gone into other churches and he's preaching now. He's gone away from the rap scene, now he's preaching. And a few weeks ago he went into Goldilocks Church and 1,000 people apparently came to know the Lord as their Savior. I hope that's true. I really do. What are you getting at tonight? Well, I've heard a lot of criticisms from people over the years how some churches just preach salvation messages. And I've heard, well, that's all I hear is a salvation message. I don't hear anything about doctrine. I don't hear anything about anything else that needs to be said. All I hear is a gospel message. And I think to myself, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with coming to church on a Sunday morning or even a Sunday night and a Wednesday night and hearing the gospel preached about Jesus Christ for those who are lost? Because there are people that are in need of a Savior, amen? They're in need of a Savior, and that gospel should be continuously preached. There is a man that is often criticized in our Bible. His name's Peter. Peter's been criticized for his statements that he has said, his actions that he has done towards people. We criticize him for these things. We criticize him for getting out of the boat and walking upon the water and then sinking. But what we don't give compliments to is he got out of the boat. Some of us aren't even willing to get out of the boat. We got out of the boat. And so there's been a lot of criticism over the years from us people that like to do that to him. But there's something about Peter that stands out in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. This is after the ascension of Christ going into heaven. And Peter has the ability to stand before the people of Jerusalem and to preach a gospel. Now, one of the things that I've noticed about Peter is he preached a bold message that was truly amazing. I often wonder what it would have been like to sit underneath the preaching at this point in time. As I begin studying this week, my thoughts begin to go back to the very day that I was in Jerusalem. And I was actually in the old city of Jerusalem, the original city. And I know a lot of things have changed since then. I'm aware of that. Outside of Jerusalem, there's a whole other city. But even in the original city that's there today, there's about 27,000 people that still live there today. And if you're to look at it, you think to yourself, how is this possible that there's 27,000 people that still live here? Well, they build houses upon houses. They live underneath the streets. That's how this city is designed. Many tunnels that go through there. And just being there, I begin to think about the people that Peter was talking to. So as we begin here tonight, it says in verse number 14, we read this last week, there are people that were mocking the 12 because the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were able to understand other people's languages. And they mocked them for, hey, you're drunk. And Peter stands up in verse number 14, says, but Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, first of all, you have to understand, when you get into a group of people and you begin to publicly speak about Jesus Christ, you have to have boldness. You have to have boldness. Where does that boldness come from? It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from someone else. That boldness comes from Jesus Christ himself. And even though Jesus is in heaven, he is still with us. He dwells within our hearts. And so this boldness came into Peter, and he was able to speak unto them. It says, ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And he begins to go on these last few verses, verse number 15 through verse number 19, of some things that are going to take place. And we dealt with that just a little bit last week. But I want to jump down to verse number 20, and 21 is going to be my focus this evening, and we're going to jump down into some other verses here as well. It says, the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and honorable day of the Lord come. Now, here is what Peter is preaching to these folks at this time. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Exactly. This is a great message that Peter is preaching to these people. So with that being said, it doesn't leave anybody out. He doesn't call on a specific group of people. He doesn't call upon a specific family to be saved. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Now, we got to understand why this came about. This came about because the Jews rejected Jesus Christ. And many times they had this opportunity not to reject him, but they rejected him. And because of this, now we have the ability as Gentiles to hear messages preached that will say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With that being said, it is a great privilege and a great honor to be able to preach God's message, to be able to preach his word. You have no idea as a speaker or a preacher of the individual and what they're struggling with, what they're going through, what they're dealing with in life. But we can rest assured that they struggle, and they might come to a point in their life they realize through the preaching of God's word that they need a Lord and Savior. I recognize that need in my life in the year of 18, I can't believe that came out, 1896 is what I was going to say, but if I was alive in 1896, I might be shaking hands with Doc, but that's not the case. 1984 of April the 25th was the day that this verse became real in my life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I was one of those folks who wasn't, and now I am one of those folks who is now have called upon the name of the Lord and am saved. This is a great message that needs to go into our world. We're facing in our world today people who are rejecting Christ left and right. And it's sad to see these things take place. It's sad to see our country that was once founded upon godly principles. But what do you mean godly principles? Do you realize that when the schools were started, do you know what our textbook was? I didn't say textbooks, our textbook. And it was the Word of God. And since man has tried to put their thoughts and their ideas of what teaching should be, they have taken out the Word of God, and now they've instilled their ideas, their thoughts, their philosophy, which is where we're at today in our society. Oh, what a difference it would be if we were still able to use God's Word in the school and preach this very message that says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name on the Lord shall be saved." These are words that need to be heard in our country. Again, Peter, criticized for how he lived his life in the past, now has the ability to speak with boldness, to speak with clearance, to speak with great authority from God's word to these people who are lost and on their way to hell. They were dependent upon what they were doing, how they were living their life. They were trying to keep the law. The law cannot save you. And this is the message that he was trying to preach to these folks. He goes on and says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." He reminds them of the fact that Jesus was present with them. He was there in the world with them. And they were able to see the miracles that Jesus performed. Could you imagine being at the very first miracle that Jesus performed, where he turned the water into wine? Could you imagine seeing the miracle at that point in time in life where he's able to heal the blind man who could never see, but someday God came in his life, Jesus came in his life, was able to put the mud upon his eyes. He was able to walk down to the pool of Shiloh and be able to rinse those eyes off of the water, and he was able to see. This is the Jesus that Peter here is referring to. He's saying, hey, you saw these things. You know what he can do. You've seen him also raise Lazarus from the dead. He's recounting these things, trying to bring these things back into people's memories, because so often we forget. A lot of us can't even remember what happened yesterday. And I don't know if that's because of age or if that's something that we just choose to do, but that's who we are. And so he's recounting these things. He's bringing this back up to their mind so that they don't forget. Why? Because he's trying to present to them a very important message. He knows that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He saw the importance of this. And so it is true to this day how often we need to be reminded how great our God is. The great miracles that he has performed in during the time that he was around and during the time that we are here. We still see God's hand at work. We still see him working in our lives. We still see him saving the souls that we would thought could never be reached, which is why I brought up the man that I brought up earlier. I hope to God that that is true. I hope to God that he can make a big impact on people's lives. Because the last thing I want for anybody, and I don't care who it is, the last thing I'd want for anybody to experience is hell itself. Because that would be the ultimate loss in somebody's life. Well, Chad, I don't agree with so-and-so, and I don't like so-and-so. They still have a soul. You should still have a desire to see them to come to know the Lord as their Savior. Yeah, we experienced 8 years under a president who wanted to bring our country to its knees, and he succeeded in many ways. But our God died for him as well. Our God wants to save his soul as well. Because it said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It doesn't, again, as I said, it doesn't put us in a different class. It's saying whosoever. It can go from the unwealthy to the wealthiest person. It can go from the best looking person to the ugliest person. It doesn't matter what class you fall in. By the way, whatever class you fall in, God created you. And you should be happy with how God created you. Because he created you in his image. And that's amazing when you begin to think about those things. And I'm going to jump down through verse number 36. And I know I'm leaving out some parts here, and I'm not doing it purposely. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So he brings to their mind again, as he just talked to them about, hey, this is the God, this is the Jesus that you saw perform these miracles. And this Jesus that I'm talking about that you can call upon is the very Jesus that you have crucified. I was not able to see the place where Jesus took the torment for you and I. I wasn't able to see that place. But I was able to go to Calvary and see the place where Jesus hung upon the cross for your sins and for my sins, where he was literally separated from his heavenly Father for a moment in history because of the sins of this world. That was enough for me. As I begin to look at that place, I begin to imagine the crucifixion that took place in his life. No man can go through what he went through. He was beaten badly. But I do know this. No man could take his life from him. What did he do for us? He gave up the ghost. He gave up the ghost. He willingly walked through the beatings, the cat of nine tails that whipped his body. I've seen a cat of nine tails, and I assure you, that's something that I don't want to experience in my life. They beat him close to death, but death did not take him. He still had to walk up Calvary to where even more torture would be placed upon his body. Crucified. They wanted to kill a man who was completely innocent, but they wanted to save a man and free a man who was guilty on all charges. A man who stole, a man who probably murdered, a man who probably kidnapped. I'm just throwing some other things out there. But a man who was guilty of some very devastating acts that he did in his life. And that's the man that they wanted to free. That's the man that should have faced crucifixion. That's the man who should have went to prison for life. But he was freed. He was freed for this very reason, for Christ to be crucified. And so Peter begins to acknowledge this and begin to bring this to their forefront once again. It says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This very preaching began to penetrate the heart. That's what prick means. It means to penetrate. It means it's spoken to them. And now because it is spoken to them, as we read through Scripture, we're going to see a reaction that takes place in their life. I will say this before I go on any further. When God speaks to you and God pricks your heart, you should do something about it. It's something that shouldn't be ignored. It's something that you shouldn't do tomorrow or the next week. If he's pricked your heart and he's moving you to do something, I encourage you to do that. Well, I don't know what he's wanting me to do. Believe me, God will reveal what he wants you to do. I remember the day on the 25th of April of 86 where my heart was pricked and I was moved to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins and for him to come into my heart. I'm thankful that I had a reaction to it. Because if I didn't react to it, I'd be going to hell at this very moment. I wouldn't be living the life that I'm living now. So they were pricked in their hearts. And it says, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter begins to respond to them. Again, understand the great boldness, the clearness of the gospel that is coming out. Peter was a man who misspoke, who tripped over his words on occasions. He wasn't a very popular man. The Romans, probably at this point in time in the life of Peter, probably wanted to kill him for this very reason. What did he do to the Roman soldier? He grabbed a sword and cut the ear off of the Roman soldier. Did you ever think about this? I was thinking about this today. The Roman soldier who was standing before Jesus and his ear went to the ground, and Jesus bent down and picked it up and put it back on, and he was healed. I wonder, and I don't know this, but I wonder after experiencing that great miracle if that soldier put his faith in Jesus Christ that day. I don't know about you, but that was me in that position. I would. Those are some things that we kind of overlook. We don't think about those things. But I was thinking about this Roman soldier. I had a vision in my mind who it was. He had on a Roman soldier hat and a Roman soldier vest. That's all I can see. But he begins to speak to them again. He says, repent. Repent. The word repent is turning away from and not turning back to it. It is realizing what you have done wrong, what has taken you away from God, and turning to God. So often in our own lives, and I'm guilty of this myself, I will ask God for forgiveness of my sins, and normally what happens is you go right back to your sin. Let me tell you, that's not true repentance. True repentance is turning away from that very thing that separates you to God, from God, and turning to God. That's true repentance. And Peter begins to explain, hey, you need to repent. Well, what do we got to repent for, Peter? Your sins are separating you from an almighty God. Think about this. This message is important to Peter. Because now, the first time in his life, he is separated from his master. He is separated. Well, that's obvious, Chad. But think about this. He was with Jesus for 3 to 3.5 years of his life. And now he has more of a desire to be around him because he's gone. He has more of a love for him. Now that he is gone. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever stopped loving somebody because they've died? No, you don't. I remember meeting Chris's grandma for the first time in my life. She was at the age of, I think, in her mid-60s. And some of you might think that's old. For me, that's really old. Just kidding. But I remember meeting her. And I stayed with her on the weekends when I went up to visit Chris and stayed in her house, and we had many conversations at night. I do now know where Chris got her late night from, and that's from her grandmother. Because even at her age, she would still stay up to 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. She'd even do that in her 80s, her late 70s. That's just who she was. And I'm looking forward to those days. She'll be up, I'll be in bed. But I remember her very specifically on many different occasions. Her separation from her husband, who passed away when he was in his mid-50s. She's been without him now probably 10 to 15 years of his life, of her life. And I tell you what, that woman had more of a desire to be around him, to be reunited with him, and more of a love for him than she ever did while he was here on this earth. Just because someone's gone doesn't mean we don't have that desire to be around them. Just because someone's gone doesn't mean we stop loving them. That love goes on. That love continues to grow. I know it sounds weird to some folks, but that's just the way it is. And so Peter brings up this point, hey, you need to repent. And then he goes on, he says, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter here is, in a sense, urging these folks the importance of having his Savior in their lives. Because he realized the importance of salvation at this point in time. Verse number 39, it says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Let's go down to verse number 46. It says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple." We got to go back to a chapter 1 and the earlier parts of chapter number 2. They met in the upper room, and what did they do? They were all in one accord. They were all in one accord. But let's back up to verse number 40. It says, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Here you see one of the biggest revivals take place in Jerusalem at this point in time. 3,000 souls, that's a big number. That's something that I can't even begin to imagine. 3,000 people. You mean they had 3,000 disciples dealing with them? They had one man preaching one message about one Savior, about their sins, so that they could have a home with Him in heaven. And it says this, they gladly received His word. We live in a world today that's not receiving the word of God gladly. Matter of fact, we're living in a world that is rejecting God's own words. And then they begin to take God's words and begin to twist it into different meanings. And then they take the very words of God in the Bible and they begin to write their own Bible and they begin to take out the blood. They begin to take out Jesus Christ. They begin to take out His miracles. They're rejecting the Word. But those people that are rejecting the Word still have a hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ. They gladly received His word and were baptized. Think about this. We live in a world to where we can come and go as we please. And so often we come in here and we're not even glad to be in church service. Our attitudes are at times, I got to hear the preacher speak again. I've heard the message before. Why do I need to be here? Nothing in it for me. And we're not gladly receiving the word. You realize that we have a group of people that have to go into hiding just to hear God's word being preached. We don't understand this because we're not going through this. We don't understand this because we don't live this. But there are people that are gladly wanting to receive God's word in their life, that they will sacrifice their very lives to hear His word. Why is that? Because His word is powerful. His word is life-changing. These people here that day saw the power of God's word. It had nothing to do with Peter. Peter was just bold. He preached the gospel. Through the gospel, they saw that they were in need of a Savior. They repented of their sins, and they gladly received His word, and 3,000 souls were saved. Verse number 42, it says, and they continue steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. They had a desire to be around one another. They had, it looks like in Scripture, a continuous potluck dinner to where they are always breaking bread and having fellowship. The first time that I was able to walk into where the west wall is at, the weeping, the wailing wall, thank you. The first time I was able to walk in there and to be able to see that for my very own eyes, outside of the wailing wall, is that whole place is surrounded by a wall. The whole place is. And so before we begin to go in there, there was a man out there that had bread. And it is the best bread that I've ever eaten in my entire life. And you can go around all Israel and all Jerusalem and you can see bread factory after bread factory. People walking up just buying the bread. Why? Because it is delicious to eat. I don't care about the gluten in there. They were happy. And they lived a long time. But they broke bread. They had fellowship with one another. And they were praying with one another. It says in fear, verse number 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. You and I, because we have Christ in our life, should have all things in common. What are you saying? We shouldn't be in disagreement with each other. We should have all things in common. Here's what took place because they had all things in common. Now imagine this. It says, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Everything that they worked for, everything that they earned at this point in time in life, they sold it. Why did they sell? Because it wasn't of value to them. What was of value to them was their salvation that they got and their common place with man at this point in time. They wanted to be around each other. That's what mattered to them. Could you imagine if you and I were to go out of this church tonight, put our house on the market, put our cars up for sale, walked away from everything, and just met in church? Ate bread, had fellowship, and prayed together. Think about that. That's what they gave up. That's what they walked away from. They sold their possessions. They sold their goods. Why? Because they realized it was of no value to them. They received the greatest thing of value in their life, and that was Jesus Christ. And that's all that they needed. And that's what they were missing in their life. Verse number 46, it says, and they continuing, they didn't stop after the 3,000 were saved. It says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And here's what ends this chapter. Praising God. Praising God. I'm thankful for my salvation tonight. I'm thankful that I had a Christ that gave up his life for me. But here's the sad part. I don't pray as much as I should. I don't have fellowship with believers as much as I should. I'm not in one accord as I should be. And I don't praise God the way that he deserves to be praised. I fall so short of that. Praising God. Why are they praising God? Because of what God has done in their life. Well, what God do in their life? God gave us his son, Jesus, to come upon this earth to die for your sins and the my sins. And what did Peter say? Repent. Repent. There's a message that's not being preached in a lot of our churches today, and that's salvation messages. There's not a whole lot being said about repentance. There's not a whole lot of being said about turning away from your sins and turning to Christ. Why is that? Because some just want fame and fortune. And they're getting fame and they're getting fortune. But who's going to hell on their account? Maybe the message that Kanye West preached a month or so ago really resonated with those folks, because they have yet to hear a message like that. I hope to God that it's true. I really do. But we need to be praising God. And it says, and having favor with all the people. And here is the greatest membership to ever be a part of. It says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm so glad that I have a membership in heaven to this day. I'm so glad that I'm not going to miss out on the things to come because of my membership that's soon to take place. Well, Chad, we've heard about this our whole entire lives, that Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back. I don't know when. I don't know what day it is, but I can rest assured that he's coming back. The question is tonight, have you truly repented? And maybe you've truly repented, but are you doing your job like Peter did his job and giving a message to a world that needs him? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for your word. Lord, I know what I have spoken on tonight was no different than what was said and has been said on many different occasions. All I am tonight is a different voice, and I praise you for giving me the ability to speak tonight. Lord, I pray tonight if you've spoken to somebody's heart that is yet to truly accept you as their Lord and Savior, I pray tonight that they would take care of that need. Lord, if there's someone in our lives that we know of that needs you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that you'd help us to be in prayer for them. And finally, Lord, if there's somebody in here tonight that's not rejoicing in their salvation, God, I pray that you would turn their heart back to you. We ask it in your name. Amen. I'm